VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We're so glad you joined us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America. I have a question for you. When you think about the end times, you no doubt think about the time of Christ's return, right? Or the tribulation or the Antichrist or perhaps the Battle of Armageddon. But have you prepared for the spiritual warfare already present in this world and escalating? Remember, Paul warned Timothy in the last days, he said perilous times would come. Are you alert? Are you alert to those perilous times? Are you alert to Satan's devices? Are you aware of Satan's most destructive and powerful tools? Well, our guest today says that now more than ever, it's essential to equip yourself with God's truth so you can stand against the encroaching darkness. Joining us today, we welcome back Dr. Ron Rhodes. Ron is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. He's a researcher and an author and apologist. He's written over 60 books, titles such as End Times Supertrends, 40 Days Through Daniel, 40 Days Through Revelation, 90 Days Through the New Testament, Unmasking the Antichrist, Israel on High Alert, and so many others. He's with us today discussing his latest book, Spiritual Warfare in the End Times. Ron, nice to have you back here on Crosstalk.
Oh, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Ron, I'd like to always begin just kind of defining our terms. And so when you use the term spiritual warfare, what do you mean?
I'm talking about the fact that we're in an invisible war with an invisible enemy. You know, we hear a lot today about an invisible enemy, and they're talking about the virus that's going around. Well, you know, we have a spiritual invisible enemy as well, and his name is Satan, and he's not alone. He's got a whole battalion of demonic forces that are behind him and working worldwide to bring Christians down. And Jim, I might mention to you, at the first coming of Christ, there was a great escalation in spiritual warfare and demonic affliction, including bodily illnesses and mental afflictions, distorted gospels and heresies, and all kinds of temptations against believers to engage in lying and sexual sin and dividing among other Christians and the persecution against Christians. It's going to be the same thing around the time of the second coming of Christ. Mm. And as we draw near to those end times, we can expect the same kind of escalation in spiritual warfare that existed back at the first coming of Christ.
Wow, that's very interesting perspective. So you used the term end times as well, so let's define it. It's in your title. When you refer to the end times, Ron, what are you referring to?
I'm referring to that time of which the prophetic scriptures speak that includes the tribulation period, which is a seven-year period during which time the Antichrist will rule. Following that time will be the second coming of Christ when Christ comes in glory. He judges the nations and judges Israel, and those who are found to be believers will enter into Christ's millennial kingdom, which lasts 1,000 years. And after that is the eternal state. Now, I also include in the end times the years leading up to the tribulation period. Prophecies have a tendency to cast their shadows before them. And so, for example, even though the Jewish temple won't be rebuilt until the tribulation period, even now they are drawing up architectural plans and raising money and training priests for the temple priesthood. That's an example of how prophecy casts a shadow before it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see many examples of that today. And so as we continue to move into the end times as believers today, even before the rapture, we're going to witness an increase in demonic warfare that we've never witnessed before. And you know what, Jim? It's not something to expect just in the future. It's already here.
Yeah, indeed.
Let's be clear that every Christian is being stalked right now. They are being profiled by the powers of darkness. And based upon that profile, the demonic forces are coming up with a scheme or a plan to bring you down.
Ron, the first segment of your book is entitled Understanding Your Enemy, and as you know, there are those that teach that Satan is just a synonym for evil in the world, that Satan is not a person but a force. What does the Bible is our source of authority, what does the Bible have to say on this? Is Satan literal or figurative?
No, Satan is not figurative. In fact, if you believe in Jesus, you have to believe in the devil, because Jesus himself taught us a great deal about the devil. And I'm talking about a personal devil. You know, it's sad that Satan's been made into a cartoon character with a, you know, a red being with horns and a red tail. Or it's the topic of comedians, you know, the devil made me do it, you know, if you do something bad. That kind of thing has gone around for years, but the truth is there is a real being known as Satan who wants to bring us down. And he is a personal being. He's not a force of evil, but is an actual person who is in one place at one time. And this is true both in the Old and the New Testaments. And we find him interacting as a person with other persons, such as when he spoke with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. You might remember the suffering of Job in the Old Testament. Satan as a person went before God's throne, and he mocked Job. And he asked for permission to sift Job and to bring disaster upon Job. And so we have a real person here who's after Christians because Christians love Christ. The reason that this evil person is against you and I as Christians is because we love Jesus Christ. And every time he attacks us, that also constitutes an attack against Christ himself.
Wow. What is Satan's origin? I mean, we know that God made a perfect creation, so where did he come from, Ron? How could imperfection come from perfection? How did evil originate?
Well, that's a good question, because God did not create Satan as Satan. God's creation was perfect, but Scripture does indicate that when God created the angelic realm, they were all in a probationary status. And that probationary status involved the fact that that God was sifting them and watching them to see how they would do. And one day, the mightiest among the angels, his name was Lucifer, started to think of himself as so intelligent and so beautiful and so wonderful. Well, he thought that he would just take God's place. He wanted to elevate himself to the throne of God. Pride filled his heart. And it wasn't him that fell alone, but he also talked a third of the angels into joining with him. This is something that Revelation chapter 12 indicates. One third of the angels joined with Lucifer in a massive rebellion against God, and they were cast out of heaven. And Lucifer's name became Satan, and the angels that rebelled with Satan are now known as demons or fallen angels, and they all work together against Christians. So, Jim, God did not create Satan as Satan. Rather, God created perfect beings, but they were all probationary beings with free will. One third of them used their free will to choose against God, now, and they've been anti-God ever since.
So is that probationary continue? I mean, can we have, let's use the term good angels today, can they become demonic or demonic angels?
Absolutely not. In fact, you'll find a reference in 1 Timothy to the elect angels, and the elect angels refers to the fact, not that they were elected unto salvation, but that they were elected unto a permanent status of holiness. Once the two-thirds of the angels stayed with God and chose to follow him forever and ever, God confirmed their status by a sovereign act. They were permanently decreed to be elect unto service to God for all eternity. And so there's no possibility of any other angel falling and rebelling against God. That's something that took place in the past. In fact, it took place before man. You see, Satan already existed before man was even created and fell in the Garden of Eden. And so this is something that took place a long, long time ago, but it still has repercussions today. And we're still continuing to suffer the consequences of that massive angelic rebellion. And it won't be squashed until the future day, when the Antichrist, when the false prophet, and when Satan himself are all cast into the lake of fire, where they will spend all eternity.
Ron, in your book, A Spiritual Warfare in the End Times, you indicate that there are ranks of fallen angels. Would you comment on that?
Well, there are ranks of fallen angels, and at the very top is Satan himself. He's in top command, just as the Archangel Michael is in command over the holy angels of God. These ranks include thrones and dominions and rulers or authorities. And a lot of times when Christians read in their Bibles about these terms, they're not really aware that these are actually angelic ranks. But there are angelic ranks among both the demons and among the holy angels of God. They're very organized. Satan has demons all over the world that answer to him. Some of those demons are involved in attacking various nations and leading various nations against God's people. Many of those angels are assigned to attack Christians who seek to walk with Christ. And sometimes it might even give the appearance, Jim, that Satan is all-powerful or all-knowing because he has so many demons reporting to Satan about what's going on in the world. But Satan is not omnipresent, nor is he omniscient. And he's certainly not all-powerful like God is. But the fact is, I like the odds, Jim, because we've got two angels for every bad angel. And those good angels are part of God's solution in terms of watching after us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think we did a show once on God's good angels.
Yes, yes.
And one of the roles of the good angels is to act as guardians. But there's so much more. God has provided everything that we need to know in order to be able to stand against these fallen angels, no matter what their rank is.
What is his goal, Satan's goal?
Satan's goal is your downfall, and he comes up with a specific tactic or scheme for every Christian. Jim, I want to tell you that he's got thousands of years of experience. He's been observing human beings since man first fell. He knows what circumstances are most likely to cause you to fall. He knows what your weaknesses are. In fact, it's kind of like football teams when they're getting ready to play another football team. You know, you watch film of the other football team,
right?
And you try to find weaknesses, and you try to find out various strategies that these teams have used in the past. The fact is that Satan has game film on you, and he's got game film on me. And by observing our game film, he uncovers what our weak spots are, and he knows our limitations, and he knows how we're likely to respond in certain circumstances. And once he studies our game film, he assigns demons to come after us with one goal, and that is to bring us down.
Wow, wow.
And, you know, it's something that too many Christians ignore, and we cannot afford to ignore it, especially as we're entering the end times.
And, folks, we're going to be talking about how do we respond to this as well, but I want us to build a foundation. And, Ron, in your book here, you use an interesting term. You write that Satan is the ape of God. Explain that.
Well, he's the ape of God in the sense that he counterfeits God. And actually, it was Augustine who first came up with this term. And what he does is that he mimics God in many different ways. For example, Satan has his own church, known as the Synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9. He has his own ministers, which Scripture refers to as ministers of darkness. He has his own system of theology, which are called demons, or teachings of demons, or doctrines of demons. His ministers proclaim a gospel, which is a false gospel, a gospel contrary to the one preached by the Apostle Paul, and that's in Galatians 1:8. He has his own throne, his own false Christs, his own false teachers, his own false apostles that teach destructive heresies. And so the idea, Jim, is that he's building up a counterfeit kingdom. And even in terms of the end times, you know, Satan will come riding a white horse. He'll have crowns on his head. He's going to try to set up a worldwide kingdom. He's doing all this stuff in mimicking the true Christ, Jesus Christ. But, of course, he falls short in every way.
Dr. Ron Rhodes is with us today. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Stay with us because we're going to get into some of these tactics or schemes of the devil as well. Ron Rhodes from Reasoning from the Scripture Ministries. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, just how intelligent were the Neanderthal people?
Chris, the Neanderthals were people just like me and you. They were descendants of at least one of the tribes that migrated away from the Tower of Babel. Perhaps they lived in harsh conditions, but they were fully human. Archaeologists have even found that they had musical instruments, using the hollowed-out bones of animals perforated with holes like a flute. When replicas of these are made, it's found that they used the same musical scale that we use today. Mostly they preferred minor keys. Of course, even the Israelites are known for their songs in minor keys, producing beautiful but haunting melodies. You see, Chris, even the Neanderthals go back to Genesis, and so should we.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. Ron Rhodes, president of Reasoning from the Scripture Ministries. He's been with us numerous times here on Crosstalk and just put forth a brand new book entitled Spiritual Warfare in the End Times. And this book is one of the featured books of the month at the VCY bookstore. And through November 30th, 2020, this book that normally it's just being released, it's retailing for $15.99. But as a means of getting this book in your hands, they have reduced this book by 45% during this month of November 2020 only. They have it for just $8.79 plus any applicable tax and shipping to you. Or if you're stopping in at the bookstore, those of you within driving distance, you can do that as well. But this does end November 30th, and here's one or two ways you can get it. And the quickest way is going to VCY.com, VCY.com. That's the website for the bookstore, and you'll see it there amongst their specials featured for the month of November. You may also call the bookstore at 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829. Now, don't be discouraged if you can't get through, if the line's busy. This is good through November 30th, but take advantage of it. And, Ron, I commend our bookstore manager. He saw your book and said, let's get this in the hands of individuals.
Well, I'm so glad that he did. And I might mention to you, Jim, that right now, your ministry is the only place to get the book. It's actually releasing officially nationwide next week.
My.
So I think it'd be a great way to support your ministry by ordering direct from you right now.
And folks, at 45% off, the bookstore worked with the publisher to get this in your hands. And again, it's vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829 through November 30th. Ron, many have the notion that, well, since I'm a child of God, life is going to be sweet for me. As long as I'm faithful and going to church, as long as I'm engaged in Christian service, as long as I have my daily devotions, life is going to be good for me. I'm shielded from attack. True or false?
Oh, boy. I got to tell you what. If you're trying to walk with Christ, Jim, you've got a big target on your back.
Yeah.
I would love to think that once you become a Christian, everything becomes rosy and life is just easy. But the truth is that those among us who seek the closest relationship with Christ, we're going to find the biggest arrows coming our way from the powers of darkness. Now, I don't say that to scare anybody, because Christ has provided everything that we need to, you know, put up a shield and stop those fiery darts from coming our way. But nevertheless, if you seek to live for Christ, you know, Satan's going to come after you, and it's true of all of us. I know that even as I wrote this book, you know, Satan likes to come after me. And I know that when you do radio shows about this kind of stuff, you're on the receiving end as well. And I could spend the rest of this hour just talking about things that I've gone through as I've sought to expose the error of the kingdom of the cults and the occult and Satan. It would chill you to the spine, but the fact is that we are more than victors. And so this book is not just about complaining about the attacks that we get from Satan. This is a book of victory, because we have victory in Jesus Christ over the powers of darkness. But, Jim, you got to know what Scripture teaches about it.
Yes, yes.
You cannot possibly be victorious until you know the specifics found in Scripture.
And we'll be looking into that. But I'd like you to comment here on two of Satan's allies you write about in your book, the world and the flesh. Tell us about how do these work together?
Well, this is part of what I call the gang attack. We suffer a gang attack made up of Satan, the world, and the flesh. And the world is not referring to the physical planet Earth, which is a beautiful planet. Rather, the term world, especially in John's writings, is an anti-God system headed up by Satan. In fact, 1 John 5:19 tells us that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, Scripture portrays the world as a seducer. You know, if you're driving down the street, you might see some billboards that are seducing. Or if you see movies or turn on the television set, you might see things that are very seducing, things that will distract you away from God if you let them. This is what I'm talking about by the term world. And also, there is the fallen flesh. And by the fallen flesh, I'm talking about that force or nature within each one of us that is in total rebellion against God. Now, Jim, wouldn't it be nice if we became Christians, our sin natures vanished?
Yes, yes.
That would be nice. But that's not the case. When you become a believer, you still retain your sin nature, and that fallen flesh always has a bent toward evil. It involves an inner propensity or inclination to do evil. And Scripture says that manifestations of the flesh include hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and much more. By the way, does that sound like our world today? Mm-hmm. I think it does.
Yeah, it's a mirror.
The fact is that when you have the flesh working with the world system, both being fanned into the flames by Satan himself, well, that's a recipe for disaster. That's what I mean when I call it a gang attack. These three are working together to bring you down. And in my book, I explain everything that you need to know about all three in order to be victorious over them.
Scripture tells us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, that we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. We read that in Ephesians 6:2. And you spend several chapters in your book, Ron, just alerting us to Satan's schemes. Tell us about this word wiles or schemes as you write about it.
Well, this carries the idea of strategies or stratagems. It's a tactic. Satan has tactics for your downfall, and they're custom designed. In other words, what works to bring you down might be different from what works to bring me down. Satan is an observer. He is watching what is going on. And as Satan and the demons watch what's going on in your life, they learn about your weaknesses, and they learn exactly the kinds of things that trip you up. And that's what I mean when I, in the book, say that you are being profiled. And based upon the profile that the demonic forces come up on you personally, a strategy is brought into being, a tactic is designed specifically to cause you to fall, because Satan does not want you to be a victorious Christian. Satan wants you to be a wounded Christian on the sidelines. He wants you to be on the sidelines not being a good witness. He wants to take away your joy so that you always look depressed, because that kind of a Christian is no threat to the powers of darkness.
So
by contrast, mm-hmm. a Christian who is living victoriously, full of the joy of the Lord, well, that's good PR for the Lord, if you know what I mean. And that's something the devil doesn't want to see.
Yeah.
And so they try to bring us down.
Indeed, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and to zap that strength is so important. Now, as you talk about these schemes, these tactics, what are some of the common ones that Satan is utilizing against believers today? You mentioned the robbing of joy. What are some others?
Well, a good example would be worry. A lot of Christians worry. A lot of people worldwide worry. And it's kind of interesting when you look at 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 8, because Peter speaks about worry and anxiety in the very same context that he is speaking of the devil. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour."
Yep.
And so based upon this, it seems like there is a connection between worry and the work of the devil in our lives. And most people worry about either stuff they've done in the past, you know, in terms of their failures and wrongdoings, or fear of the future. And what that means is this: we worry in the present moment as we agonize over the past and the future. Satan loves to get us in a tailspin about this kind of stuff. And so what I do in the book is I explain this tactic along with many other tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell you what to do about it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to worry because Jesus is our shepherd that walks with us hand in hand. And the single best antidote to worry, according to Scripture, is prayer. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds." And so, you know, I explain all of this in detail, and it works. I'm speaking not only from Scripture, but based upon many years of experience.
Ron is with us today, and folks, you know we've experienced much in this year, and there is much doubt, there's much fear, there is much worry, and these are all devices of Satan, and Ron writes about each of these in his book as well. You also indicate division is a tool of the devil, and we see a whole lot of division taking place, but it's also troubling, Ron, because in Luke chapter 12, 51 through 53, Jesus is talking, and he says this, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For far from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, mother against the daughter against the mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, etc." Help us understand this aspect of division.
Well, you know, one of the primary tactics of the devil is to divide and conquer, and I have seen this so many times in my work in ministry. Now, Jim, I've been around a long time. You haven't been around quite as long as I have.
I'm catching up,
though. The fact is that I've seen in one ministry after another how Satan's goal was to divide and conquer. Mm. I won't mention the name of the ministry, but, you know, I visited one ministry, and two of the primary workers there, they got into a yelling match, and it was almost at the point of a fist fight breaking out until Brave Ron got in between them and talked them down. But you see, this is the kind of stuff that the devil loves to do. He loves to divide and conquer. And if you want some good scriptures on that, just go to 1 and 2 Corinthians. Read through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and you will see some great examples of how Satan can divide and conquer among different Christians. And he likes to do the same thing with Christian fellowships, Bible studies, small discipleship groups, Christian companies, personal friendships, people that you hang out with at church. You know, if Satan can get you divided with other Christians, he ends up poisoning the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And very often this division comes through the human tongue. And as you know, James himself said that the tongue is set on fire by hell. And you know, that term hell can be used as a reference, a subtle reference to the devil. The tongue can be used by the devil to do great damage to another person. And that's one of the primary things that can bring division among people. And so I warn about this in my book because I'm seeing this all over the place today. We need unity in the body of Christ, not division.
Yeah. And as we look at Proverbs, the things that God hates, one of those aspects in that list is he that sows discord among the brethren. And the devil is very much at work in that regard.
Well, that's right. And this also relates to personal offense. You know, I talk a lot about personal offense in my book. And a lot of people, they really give in to the devil by taking offense at somebody else. The fact is that offended people produce fruit like hurt, anger, outrage, jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, and envy. And here's a real big heads up for you. According to Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27, these kinds of things like anger and outrage can provide an opportunity or a foothold for the devil to afflict you further. That's why the Lord says, don't give the devil a foothold through anger. So beware.
Ron Rhodes is with us today. Folks, I've got some more questions we're going to pepper him with here after the break. Just a reminder, the book is reduced by 45% through November 30th at the VCY bookstore. You can go to vcy.com or call 1-888-722-4829. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For 2,000 years, Christians have courageously faced beatings, stonings, torture, burnings, and every form of evil for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The book, Fox's Voice of the Martyrs, AD 33 to today, tells their story. This all-new edition includes the stories of more than 100 Christian martyrs not included in John Fox's original work. It includes heroes from the early church to the Reformation to the 21st century. Read about Nate Saint, Watchman Nee, and dozens of stories of 67 others who have stood faithfully to the death. Their courage in the face of Islamic groups, brutal dictatorships, and government crackdowns will inspire you to be a bold witness. This hardcover, soul-stirring book available from VCY for your donation of $20 or more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Crosstalk on VCY America. And if you're calling, you get a busy signal, just wait a few moments or later this afternoon or any time now between now and the end of the month. But this book, normally $15.99, they have it for just $8.79, plus any applicable tax or shipping. You can call 1-888-722-4829 or speed up the process by going to vcy.com. Ron Rhodes is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, has poured a lot of his life into writing and studying apologetics and researching and warning and dealing with so many of these issues. And we're so glad he's with us here today. Ron, you, in your book here, Spiritual Warfare in the End Times, you address a topic that's not really popular to talk about today, but it's one that needs to be addressed, and you do address it, and it deals with seduction to sexual sin. This is a real genuine concern, isn't it?
Well, it is a concern, because according to the latest polls, an alarming number of Christians, including Christian pastors, have fallen prey to this sin. And I'm talking primarily in regard to the easily available literature and pornographic pictures that you see on the internet. It used to be strictly a male problem, but according to the latest statistics, it has become just as much a female problem. And Satan does like to get people involved in sexual sin. We see this in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. It talks about how Satan has the ability to tempt you because of a lack of self-control. Now, I want to point out something to you, Jim. This is so interesting to me. On the one hand, you have the unholy spirit, which is Satan, who likes to use a lack of self-control to tempt people sexually. Now, what is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 5?
Mm-hmm.
Self-control.
Right.
Who's controlling you, Christian? The unholy spirit or the Holy Spirit? You see, if you walk according to the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will have self-control. But Satan, one of his schemes is to use the tactic of getting you to not walk in the Spirit, and he wants you to lose your self-control so that you'll be susceptible to sexual sin. And, you know, this is an especially alarming sin, Jim, because the human body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is where God dwells. And so that's an especially vile kind of sin for the Christian to fall into. The good news I want to share with everyone is that no matter how long you've been in bondage, no matter how long you've struggled with this, you can start today and be victorious. I do talk about that in the book, and there's a great deal of help available both in the book as well as by other books in overcoming this.
Yes.
And it's like this, you know, our lives are being videotaped, as it were, for the future judgment of Christ. We can't change that footage. But you know what? You can begin filming new footage starting today.
Amen.
You know, and that's something that should give everyone hope.
You also write about Satan wearing down our defenses, so we end up defeated. How does he wear us down?
He does so in a number of ways, Jim, and it's really different for everyone. But the fact is that with some people, it's going to be discouragement. It might be depression. I think that one of the ways that people are being worn down in our particular day is by anger. And I say that because there's a lot of stuff that goes on in our world today that involves dishonesty and unscrupulous behavior, even among leaders. And, I mean, I could just give you a lot of examples of that. But a lot of people, including Christians, are angry at what they see going on in the world. And if you don't deal with that anger, it can become a root of bitterness that can open up a means for the devil to get a big foothold in your life. And that can wear you down. And by being bitter, that's hurting one person, not the other person, but you.
Yeah.
It's hurting you. Now, there's nothing wrong with righteous indignation and taking a stand against what is truly evil and wrong. But if you let anger become that root of bitterness where it just continues to grow and fester, that opens up a door for Satan to do major damage in your life, and you can't let that happen.
Folks, I wish we had more time. We don't. But Ron covers a whole multiple chapters on understanding the enemy tactics, mind games, guilt, discouragement, worry, anger, doubts, depression, a personal offense, hindering prayer, pride, sin, and then also things like bodily illness, attacking churches, apostasy, false religions, persecution, and so forth. But Ron, I'm going to propel ourselves here to the third section of your book, which is a very important section because we don't have to fall victim to Satan's attacks, do we? You have a section here called Resisting and Defeating the Enemy.
Well, that's right. And this is the good news part of it, because I don't want people to hear about this book and say, oh, I'm afraid of learning about this stuff. Rather, you should rejoice because I present everything that you need to know from Scripture in living a victorious life. And that includes our position in Christ. That includes dependence upon the Holy Spirit. That includes the armor, the supernatural armor that God provides us to wear. It includes prayer, and it includes angels among us. Now, let me just whet your appetite. Absolutely central to victory over the devil is the fact that we are in Christ.
Amen.
And this is a wonderful truth that if only you get this one alone, you're going to find your life changing. Everything that we have of benefit as Christians is found in Christ. For example, we are redeemed in Christ, Romans 3:24. We are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ, Romans 6:11. We have eternal life in Christ, Romans 6:23. There is no condemnation for those in Christ, Romans 8:1. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ, Romans 8:38. We are sanctified in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:2. We receive God's grace through Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:4. We are triumphant in Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:14. We are new creations in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Jim, I've got over 100 verses here, and I'm not going to go through them all. But the fact is that as we focus on our new position of being in Christ, that is the place where we are safe. Here's the way that I explain it in the book. We are sheep. You and I are sheep. And sheep have a tendency to get themselves in trouble. And if left alone, they're going to wander away from the flock and just get in all kinds of trouble. But you know what? We've got a great shepherd. Now, what great shepherds will tell you is this. Those sheep who stay closest to the shepherd are the best nourished. The ancient shepherds used to walk along and they'd grab a branch off a tree and hold it in back of them so that the sheep that followed along could nibble morsels right off that branch. That teaches that the sheep who are the best fed are the ones who stay near the shepherd. Hmm. The same thing is true spiritually. As we stay near to Christ, we're going to have that spiritual nourishment. But if we go away from Christ like a sheep running off, we're in the danger zone. Now, I got to tell you something, Jim. Wolves do not like to attack sheep that are right next to the shepherd. They like to attack sheep who are, going off on their own. And so this teaches us something very important. Now, it's not just the fact that we are close to the shepherd. Rather, Christ is in us, and I am in Christ.
Amen.
You know, Jesus himself said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, and so all throughout this book, I center on the person of Jesus Christ. We keep our primary vision on Jesus, and we just have Satan in our peripheral vision. In our peripheral vision, we see him, trying to do some work and get some inways. But we all the while keep our primary attention on Christ and staying close to him.
And friends, this whole third section of the book deals with this very aspect here, and to give you the hope and the help, even through these times of challenge, these times of scheming, the tactics used against you, resisting and defeating the enemy, where he gets into the role of the Holy Spirit, the putting on the armor of God, as we see in Ephesians 6, the role of prayer in all of this as well. So we'd encourage you to get a copy of the book. We've skimmed the surface here, but we'll give you that contact information. Again, right now we're opening our phone lines here to Crosstalk. If you have a question dealing with this topic today, we're not dealing generally with cults and so forth, but specifically on this topic of spiritual warfare, we encourage your phone calls. Our number here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 to speak with our guest today, Ron Rhodes from Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. Ron, are you concerned? Is the church asleep on these matters, or is the church alert?
Well, I think that too much of the church is asleep today. And one of the reasons why the church is asleep is because we've witnessed a shift in our society, and that shift is away from reading the Bible and instead basing our spiritual views on experience. The Bible has been issued at the back door. Experience has been issued in the front door, and that is dangerous. There are many, many Christians who are focusing on mystical encounters with the spiritual realm instead of deriving our spirituality from the pages of Scripture. And in mysticism, it's almost impossible to test what's true and what's not true. Whereas in Scripture, we have Scripture itself as the barometer of truth. And so I make no bones about it. My book is based entirely on the Word of God, and I'm calling Christians back to the Word of God. And if you feel like your spiritual life is in a barren spiritual wasteland, you might consider the possibility that you've strayed away from the Word of God, because the Word of God exalts the person of Jesus. And if you don't feel like you're close to Jesus, it may be because you're not close to Scripture either. So there's definitely a close connection there.
Folks, some of you listening right now know of somebody who's going to benefit from this book. They're going through issues. You like a copy for yourself, you can get a copy for others. You can contact the VCY bookstore, vcy.com, or 1-888-722-4829. William is calling in from New Mexico. Hi, William. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And this subject is very, very good because we're living in a time where there's a lot of movement saying that forces of evil are not real, and that the devil is not real, and it's all make believe, figurative. But that's just a con to get us to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is forces of evil, and I would want to encourage people that one of the arms that I have used in combating evil is the Word of God.
Yeah.
There was a situation where I confronted some forces, and I armed myself with a pocket Bible that I had with me. And later on, that other person went to tell another person that they had never felt so much fear, because that other person wanted to hurt me.
Hmm.
But
William, I appreciate you sharing that. I wish we could hear the entire story, but you brought up a great point that I'd like you to address, Ron, the importance of the Word of God as we go through these trials or the tactics of the devil.
Well, it is important because there are denials today. There are liberal Christian scholars telling us that the devil doesn't exist. New Age leaders completely redefine the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Satanists even redefine the devil, interestingly. There are some people that say that the devil is a personification of evil, but that's false because Scripture portrays Satan as an actual person. And then you've got popular culture that portrays the devil in terms of being a little red being, an impish-like being with horns and a pointed tail. You've got comedians talking about it. Even in conservative Christian congregations, you hardly ever find a sermon about the devil. The fact of the matter is that according to Scripture, there is a real devil. Jesus talked about it, the apostles talked about it, and you find it from beginning to end in Holy Scripture, so you cannot ignore it.
Not at all. We're going to take a quick break, and as to the question here as well, the very fact in Ephesians 6, we see we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thank you, William, for the call. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. A couple days ago, I had the honor of interviewing Brazilian journalist Alan dos Santos. Alan is a conservative fighting communism in Brazil, but he spoke too much truth, and so he had to flee Brazil and come to America. He's now warning Americans that what he has seen take place in Brazil is being set up here in America. That includes shadow banning conservatives and their truth reports, blacklisting them. Oh, and guess what? He was accused of fake news. Not only were there physical threats against him that caused him to flee Brazil, but they're working on legislation in Brazil to make reporting fake news a crime. You could maybe go to jail for it. Oh, and by fake news, they mean speaking the truth. So here he is in America, having fled Brazil, warning Americans that it can and is starting to happen here.
for joining us on Crosstalk here today on VCY America. Ron Rhodes is our guest, author of the brand new book, Spiritual Warfare in the End Times. If you missed the website, phone number, we'll get that to you in just a moment. Right back to the phone lines, Milwaukee, and Fred, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask if it's in Revelation 20 where it talks about millennial kingdom, 1,000 years, and the fact that in the Greek language, the number 1, 10, 100,000 is not a number.
Yeah, I tell you what, Fred, we're not talking on that today. We're dealing with spiritual warfare, so we'll get into some of those other matters another time. Thank you. Lee in Tri-City, Washington, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Lee. As I'm listening to you guys talk about the Word of God and everything, and I listen to this program all the time. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest problem with Christians today in general is they don't use the Bible God wrote, the authorized King James Version. Mm-hmm. I was saved out of the Kingdom Hall 50 years ago, and they put their sample approval on their own new version,
yeah.
New World Translation. And it's just like the NIV, the same 16 verses they took out of the New World Translation.
I appreciate that, too. And we're going to talk about cults another time here as well, Lee. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Barbara in McMinnville, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Hi. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in his word, and ye are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. And then he tells us in Romans 6 that he took that old man after he circumcised the heart and put it in himself on the cross, Romans chapter 6, mm-hmm. and buried it with him so that...
Do you have a specific question for our guest today, Barbara?
Well, that's where Jesus says our old man is. That's all.
Okay.
That's positionally true, and in terms of positional truth, we are to count on the fact that our old man or our sinful nature is nailed on the cross. But the problem is with many Christians is that our fleshly nature or old man has a tendency to jump off the cross and take things into their own mm-hmm. hands, and that's when they fall into sin. So Paul in Romans is talking about positional truth, which we are to count on being true, but some Christians get carnal and they fall out of their position into reality. And so it's important to understand that and to interpret scripture by scripture.
Yeah.
And have a balanced understanding of these things.
Thank you for the call. And Ron, I mean, even Paul, they're also in Romans, talked about, you know, the good that I should do, I don't, and that which I
That's
shouldn't,
right.
I do. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am, you know, who's going to deliver me from this?
That's right. And that's when he says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Right, right.
You see, so Paul says that, by the way, after he became a Christian. Even after he was a believer, he said, you know, I continue to do the things that I'm not supposed to do, and the things I know I'm supposed to do, I don't do. That's a struggle we all have.
Yeah.
But it's only as we continue to maintain our position in Christ that we are victorious.
Let's go to Bonneville, Tennessee. And Teresa, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I have two grown children, and which they were raised in church. And as they've grown up, they've strayed away. And actually... one of my children is into social justice and has made that their career, and the other got into drugs and homosexuality, and which we don't have real close relationships because, I mean, I don't try to condemn them or preach to them about that, but I just am not going to tell them that something's good that I know is not, and I know mm-hmm. it's harmful to them. And they get so mad at me, and we don't have good relationships.
Do they profess Christianity, Teresa?
They do. Actually, the one that's really, which he has trouble with drugs, but he's, you know, he like gets in and out. But he'll call me. He lives 1,000 miles away, and
sure.
he'll call me. He's called in the middle of the night asking me to pray with him.
Yeah. Ron, your comments here.
Well, first of all, don't panic. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, follow Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord in all things. Secondly, pray, pray, pray.
Yes.
There is supernatural power in prayer. Third, as much as possible, try to get them in love with the Word of God. And if there are more targets for evangelism than discipleship, then what I would recommend you do is to write a letter where you can go into detail about why you understand the truth and why they need to understand the truth. And I say write a letter because a lot of people are better at doing that than they are having verbal discussions. And it kind of takes the emotions out of things. You know, you can focus on the scriptures in a very good way. Those are some beginning points. There's much more. But keep on loving them with the love of Jesus and never shy away from telling the truth in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Teresa, for the call. As a matter of fact, in the book, Ron spends a time about the role of prayer as well, and that is also addressed. Doug in Johnson City, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, earlier in the program, your speaker mentioned the creation of angels. I think he said in a probationary status. I'm just wondering, where did he find that? What does he mean by that?
Okay, thank you.
Well, we see in Scripture that that God created the angels. In fact, more specifically, it was Christ that created the angels. And you see that in Colossians 1:16. Christ created the angels. One moment they didn't exist, the next moment they did exist. And then we have a recording or a documentation of the fall of the angels, specifically Lucifer, in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, which I'd recommend that you study. And it's in that passage that we find that Lucifer chose to want to take God's place. Lucifer was formerly an angel of God, but then he sinned with pride. He used his free will to choose against God. And then we have a mini history of Satan in Revelation chapter 12, where we find that one-third of the angels fell along with the devil. And so it's by combining Scripture and interpreting Scripture by Scripture that I say that. And I do talk about that in this book.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call. And, folks, this hour has gone by so fast, and we've got 30 seconds left. Ron, a quick, what do you want to leave with the listeners here?
I would simply say that there's probably fewer ignored subjects but more important subjects than understanding what Scripture has to say about this topic. You need to stay close to the shepherd. You need to consistently resist the devil. You need to wear the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, and use the sword of the Spirit. And I talk about exactly how you get dressed in the name of the Lord. So get this book. It will help you immensely.
Ron, thank you for being with us, and appreciate you just staying on the line for a moment. Ron Rhodes, our guest here today on Crosstalk, Spiritual Warfare in the End Times. There's so much more, folks, we never got to, but as Ron just gave that summary here at the end, you'll find that whole aspect of applying, putting on the critical armor of God, and as listed in Ephesians 6. Go to vcy.com, vcy.com, or call 1-888-722-4829. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.